1 Kings 22, verse 41 through 53, these are God's words. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, had become king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of Yahweh. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. Also, Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, the might that he showed and how he made war, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And the rest of the perverted persons who remained in the days of his father Asa, he banished from the land. There was then no king in Edom, only a deputy of the king. Jehoshaphat made merchant ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they never sailed, for the ships were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat would not. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He made Israel sin, for he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked Yahweh, God of Israel, to anger, according to all that his father had done. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, you can really say this about the entire Bible as a whole, and then every particular passage in its own way, because Jesus is Yahweh, and the opening 39 books, the great theme is especially that Yahweh alone is God, and he is going to save sinners. And then the closing 27 books are Jesus is the Lord who has saved and is completing the salvation of sinners, of those whom he, the redemption of those whom he is saving. So Jesus is Yahweh. So it might not be surprising to you to know that the theme of the closing section of 1 Kings that we're in is that we need Jesus, that no one else will do. As 1 Kings began with the handoff to Solomon, and Solomon is a son of David, and he's the son of David that is going to be the king. You remember his brother tried to take the throne, and David was stirred up out of his kind of sleepy, tired, passive elderliness at the end of his life to make sure that the last thing he did was make sure that the kingdom goes to Solomon. Well, David had had promises about his son, who would be the one whose throne would be forever and ever, 2 Samuel 7, you remember. And there is that wondering, perhaps, if Solomon is the one. Of course, he's not, because he's very disappointing almost from the beginning. At the very beginning, he does some things right. He even corrects with vengeance some things that David had not corrected in his life, and he's the one who builds the temple, and he asks the Lord for wisdom, and he has wisdom like no one else on the earth. But of course, you get to about chapter 12, I think it was, and he married 4 women, 1,000 total women, wives and concubines, and they turned his heart away from Yahweh. And ever since then, every king, the main thing is he going to do good or is he going to do evil? And if he does what is right in the eyes of Yahweh, as his father David had done, etc., Can he be the forever king? And the answer about many of them is that they did evil. And of course, in the north, Jeroboam is offered to be the start of a new line that will be godly, but he instead becomes the name by which the ungodliness of every other king in the north is recognized. And he becomes Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. And so we need the king who's promised in 2 Samuel 7. Now, Jehoshaphat is a reminder that there are going to be mortal flaws in any other king but Jesus. He's a really great king. We think of Asa as one of the great reforming kings, one of the great lovers of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat walks in all the ways of his father Asa, verse 43. And then we find out that Jehoshaphat didn't just walk in all the ways of Asa. He walked better than the ways of Asa. Because Asa, his father, had permitted perverted persons to remain in the land. And Jehoshaphat had gotten rid of them. But there are some things that Jehoshaphat doesn't have. Among them, common sense. You remember his aligning with Ahab and being really excited that with most of the northern army fighting Assyria, that against the Arameans, that Judah could come to the rescue. And, you know, my people are as your people, etc., etc. And he fell for Ahab's, you know, there should really only be one decorated king on the battlefield. I'll dress in the regular old armor and blend in with everyone else, but you wear your royal robes, and so forth. But the worst thing that Jehoshaphat did in his stupidity, as summarized, and those things are part of it, but as summarized in verse 44, is he made peace with the king of Israel. And sadly, we learn from 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1, that the way that he made this peace was marrying his son off to the daughter of Ahab. So he married into the family, or he allowed his family to marry into the family of Jezebel. And it's kind of like when you get to Genesis 6 and you're like, you just had the line of the godly, and everyone, is this the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head? And even Noah's daddy names him in hope that Noah will be the one that the Lord uses to give rest to the people, and so forth. And then you get the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took as their wives whomever they chose. And the intermarriage of the lines results immediately in the exposure of the fact that had existed before then, but is exposed because no mere man could be the son or the seed of the woman that we were looking for. The intermixture of the lines becomes the occasion for revealing that every intention of the thoughts of the hearts of man were only evil, and that continually. Well, something similar here. There have been some good kings, there have been some converted kings, godly, fearing the Lord, you know, walking like David and Asa and Jehoshaphat. But the problem is not just the intermarriage of the lines. When Jehoshaphat and his foolishness, he's a godly man. The text itself emphasizes his godliness, like Asa, like David, even more than Asa. He did more than Asa did as far as reformation and putting the perverted persons out of the land, etc. And yet, the intermarrying of the lines becomes the occasion upon which to remind us that no ordinary son of David is going to be able to be the forever king that we're looking for since 2 Samuel 7. We need Jesus. Jesus has to be the seed of the woman who crushes the serpent's head. Jesus has to be the forever king. No one else will do. It has to be the one who is the Son of God, as Jesus was declared with power by his resurrection from the dead in the Holy Spirit, as the opening verses of Romans says. Not just the Son of David according to the flesh, although he was being made from the substance, as it were, creating for himself a body from the substance, as it were. from the of the substance of virgin of the Virgin Mary. So that's the one thing. Jehoshaphat lacks common sense. He also lacks the power to regenerate his people. It's an unfair thing to ask for a king, but if a king is going to be the holy forever king, and if his people are going to be the holy forever people, and they are by nature children of wrath, as are the sons of disobedience who are outside of the kingdom, you remember, sons of disobedience in Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 5:6, describing those who are outside of the church, but even those who are inside the church, the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 2, among whom we all were by nature children of wrath. So if you're going to have the holy forever king with the holy forever people, he's got to be able to regenerate them. And that's exposed to something that Jehoshaphat can't do, because he walks in all the ways of his father Asa, and he puts the perverted persons out of the land, verse 46, but, verse 43, he did not turn aside from them doing what was right in the eyes of Yahweh. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. He's not able to change the hearts of the people. We need a king who can do that. We need a king who can earn it for us, and we need a king whose spirit can do it for us. And so we need Jesus. Ahaziah provides a good foil. Yes, it's better to be a Jehoshaphat than it is to be an Ahaziah. Ahaziah is a son of Ahab. Oh, and by the way, Jezebel. And so verse 52, he walked in the way of his father, and he walked in the way of his mother. And what way was that? It's especially the way of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. So much better to be descended from David, descended from Asa, like David, like Asa. And yet there's a reminder, even in the detail that's given in verse 48. Verse 45, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, the might that he showed, how they made war, blah, blah, blah. It's like, all the stuff that earthly people care about, or fleshly people care about, you can go read those in another book. But verse 48, he made merchant ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they never sailed, for the ships were wrecked at Ezion Geber. That reminds us, doesn't it, of Solomon, whose ships did go and get the gold of Ophir, the best gold in the world, according to the scripture. But it's a reminder that Jehoshaphat cannot be the forever king. That Solomon was presented to us as the height of where you could get as a son of David, who is a mere man. But even Jehoshaphat falls short. What we need is a king with perfect wisdom. We need a king with perfect righteousness. We need a king with infinite power, even the power to pour out his own spirit by whom to bring his people to faith and to make him holy. We need King Jesus. And the wonderful thing is you have King Jesus. And so whether you're thinking about the leadership you have in the church, which is going to be imperfect, except for that Jesus is in the church, he's the head of the church. Or you think the leadership that you have in a family, which is going to be imperfect, except for that the household is a covenant household and it has Christ as its head and its mediator. Yes, the husband and the father does things that are prophetic and priestly and kingly in imitation of Jesus, but Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king of a Christian household. And even in the state, even in Nero's Rome or Biden's America, it's not very difficult to say we need Jesus to be the head of the state. The fact of the matter is, he already is, isn't he? Isn't that what Romans 13 says? That even the highest magistrates on earth are servants of Christ, servants of the Lord. And so we have Jesus. He's our king. And every then lesser authority, whether in the church or in the household or in the state, should A, rejoice that Jesus is king, B, teach those under him to rejoice that Jesus is king, and then see, serve as a king who's following Jesus, dependent upon Jesus, and very importantly, does not think that I myself am Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the goodness that you showed Jehoshaphat and how we would love, O God, to have in our family and in your church and in the state, O Lord, have mercy and give it lesser authorities under Jesus who have the character of a Jehoshaphat, who walk in all your ways without turning to the right and to the left, and who seek to reform even more than those who had come before them. We ask that they might have better wisdom than Jehoshaphat. We ask that you would attend by your Spirit's power to do the regenerating work in the people. Oh Lord, don't let anyone around the table in my home fail to come to heaven with us, but give them that life in their soul by which they believe in the Lord Jesus and are joined to him through faith and are heirs of glory. And we do pray that you would not only give us faithful and godly leadership in the church, but that your Spirit, whom you have poured out, Lord Jesus, would give the people good hearts, and that there would not be that nevertheless asterisk on the godliness of their leadership, but an addition of the fact that you, O God, blessed us far beyond what any faithful leadership could ever have provided. And we pray, O God, for our nation as we think about nations and we see how devastating the reign of Ahab and Ahaziah was to the tribes of your people in the north. And now how many are devastated by earthly reign in the state that resists you, Lord Jesus, who are King over all the nations. So we pray that you would have mercy. And we see, O Lord, that ordinarily speaking, except by some great upheaval, war or revolution or something else, the way that we might have it in your providence is if you give the people the regenerating work in their hearts first. If you change the people as Jehoshaphat was unable to do, but you, O Lord, can do it. And so we pray for a reformation in your church, and we pray for you to raise up preachers of the gospel, whom you give to be heard by many, and to be heard with the attending power of your Spirit, that multitudes would be regenerated by your Spirit and brought to faith in Jesus Christ, and that with the salvation of Christ transforming the face of the nation, that you would also add to that civil magistrates at every level who know that Christ is King over this nation and all nations, and who reign in fear of him. We thank you that you have given us your Son to be head over our households, to be head over his church, to be head over our nation and all the nations. Grant that our hearts would be his, and that we would long before you and pray unto you for him to receive that which is due, that which is his due. For we ask it in his name, your Son, our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Amen.